8 wicket shellacking in the first T20. England have taken a 1-0 series lead in this 5-match T20 series. India completely outplayed, be it batting, bowling, or fielding. I mean, this was a very, very professional English performance. And of course, it tells you why they are considered to be one of the top, top favorites for the T20 World Cup later this year. India, on this evidence, not so much. Hello and welcome to Hotspot Daily with me, Chetan Narula, and my friend Daniel Norcross in London. Daniel, that word shellacking has come straight from your tweet. Let's get started. Your first thoughts.
It was extraordinary. It wasn't what any of us were expecting. It was a game, really, of two halves. England won both of them. They were absolutely impeccable with the ball. It was a really good toss to win. I want to make that absolutely clear. I think that played to England's strengths and advantages. It was a pitch that suited their bowling attack down to the ground. They picked the right team. They had perfect selection. They had a plan. They looked like a side that knew exactly what they were doing. And I have to say that India didn't. I don't think the Indian team was right for that pitch. I don't think the personnel was right. I don't think that there was a clarity of thought. And I think England surprised from the very beginning. The first over was bowled by Adil Rashid, not by Jofra Archer. It wasn't Archer and Wood or Archer and Curran or Archer and Jordan. It was Adil Rashid bowling that first over. And from that very moment, it was like Owen Morgan, who is without a doubt one of the finest white ball captains in the world, just got one up on his opponent, and India never really recovered from a terrible start.
You've hit the nail on the head there, Daniel. That's a perfect summary from the game. But I want to start with that team selection. And one word that comes to my mind, horrendous. Horrendous team selection. Basically, what India have done, and I've been following their T20 cricket for a while now, let me tell you, they've torn up the entire playbook. They've torn up every strategy that they used to have. They usually play with three fast bowlers. They decided to go in with three full-time spinners. Of course, you have Akshar Patel and Washington Sundar as your spin all-rounders. They picked Shardul Thakur for his batting ability, not his bowling ability. Otherwise, it does not make sense to leave out Navdeep Saini, who's so wonderful for RCB, to leave out Deepak Chahar, who's been so wonderful for India in T20 format. They completely tore up the playbook, completely. And they got carried away by the fact that Hardik will be able to bowl. Hardik Pandya will be able to bowl. Again, he just bowled two or three overs. But this is the biggest talking point for me. Rohit Sharma rested. Now, this could be a late call. This could be a call from the batsman himself because he's been part of the bubble. Yada, yada, yada. But 24 hours ago, before the match, in the preview of the match, Virat Kohli came out and said, Rohit Sharma and KL Rahul are our number one opening pair. And then 24 hours later, you rest Rohit Sharma. Maybe it was the batsman's call, but you don't rest him in the very first game. And I'll tell you why. Because KL Rahul hasn't played since December when he got injured. Shikhar Dhawan has been playing domestic white ball cricket, but he's not been lighting up the tournament. He's not been doing exceedingly well. Virat Kohli perhaps is in the worst form of his career. You don't say that too often, but right now he's having difficulty buying runs. He's getting out for more ducks than half centuries or centuries, really. So that's three of your top four. And India's ploy of attacking from the beginning just fell flat. Yes, England opened their bowling with Adil Rashid, but it was the pace of Jofra Archer that troubled them. Despite that, again, very attractive reverse ramp from Rishabh Pant. But again, it was a case of too little, too late, as we saw from Shreyas Iyer's half century or the cameos from Pant and Pandya. Like you said, those three early wickets and India never got going. So for me, it's not about the batting performance. It's not about the bowling performance. It's about the tools. You need the proper tools to perform. If India see the series as a build-up towards the T20 World Cup, and a dress rehearsal against one of the top teams of T20 cricket in the world today, this was very, very poor. This was horrendous. This was shambolic because, like I said, they tore up their batting playbook. They tore up their bowling playbook. And from the moment I saw this playing 11, there was no way India would have won this match.
It's very odd, isn't it? I mean, they did something quite similar in the test series in that I don't think anybody was expecting the side that took the field in the first test of the series to be that one. And similarly in this, there's no way that that is going to be the playing 11 for the first game of the World T20 in October. No way. So you have to ask yourself why. Now, I thought Virat Kohli was interesting at the start of play because he talked about how it was a five-match series and how they would be looking to play, you know, sometimes they would actually look to bat first because they want to challenge themselves in difficult conditions and try out everything. Well, that's all well and good, but you've actually got to master the game first, I think, before you start messing with that. It's interesting with Owen Morgan, even in, you know, five-match bilateral series, he doesn't mess with the playbook. He doesn't say, right, I've won the toss. Let's see how we get on batting first if what he wants to do is bat second. He doesn't do that. What he tries to do is win games of cricket. And look, this is a beginning of a long series and there's a long time to go till the World T20. So nobody should overreact. India will come back from this. They will pick a different side. They will work through their stratagems and their plans. But it was just, it felt really muddled. And it felt, conversely, like England arrived knowing exactly what they wanted to do. And it executed it amazingly. I mean, not just Adil Rashid. We all know what Jofra Archer can do, but no one's really sure about Mark Wood with a white ball. The ball comes on so quickly. He bowled so many balls over 144 kilometers an hour, over 90 miles an hour. He bowled a couple of 150. His consistency of pace, he doesn't have change-ups. He doesn't bowl a slower ball. What he bowls is just relentlessly fast. And England had, there was a period in that game when they just bowled relentlessly fast. Even Chris Jordan was deciding to bowl up near 90 miles an hour because they'd kind of assessed the conditions and they all worked for them. And they had the tools, as you say, to pull off that game plan. India, by contrast, you sort of felt almost by the end of the third over, and certainly by the time they lost their third wicket, I was reminded today on Twitter many times that if you lose three wickets inside the power play, 80% of the time you lose. Well, part of that was England's bowling, but part of it was because England had the right bowling attack for that pitch. Now, I don't know whether we're going to see a similar pitch next time. I don't know whether we'll see a similar team from India next time. We might look back on this and think, well, that was a weird one. That's just not, you know, that was an outlier. But England have come straight out of the blocks, looking like a side that knows exactly what they want to do. And they executed everything that they would have wanted to do perfectly today.
Absolutely. And I think England looked the part. I think it was a very, very professional performance from England. They looked the part when people talk about them being favourites of the T20 World Cup. Like you mentioned, they had set plans. I mean, they were only playing Adil Rashid as their full-time spinner. And he delivered. Their pacers delivered. I mean, it just showed that they had done their backroom homework. And they came out with strategies. They had particular ploys and plans and set everything accordingly. They set the board like that. And from the word go, they were really on the money. And that's my complaint with India once again. I mean, people might say, okay, you're overreacting. I'm not, because I'll tell you why. Because it's been a while since India played T20 cricket. Let's be very honest. The last time they played T20 cricket was at the start of the Australian tour. Then they had the ODIs, or maybe they had the ODIs first, I'm not remembering, but it's been a while since they played white ball cricket. They've played 8 test matches. A lot has happened in those 8 test matches. Those 8 test matches have felt like 8 years of international cricket. It's been quite a while. But the last time India did play white ball cricket, they had set plans. For example, one of the keen plans for India is to use 3 pacers in their playing 11 in T20 cricket and 2 spinners. And of course, they are hampered by the unavailability of Ravindra Jadeja, but they play 3 pacers. One of them is traditionally a left-arm seamer, but of course, they didn't have that in Khalil Ahmed or T. Natarajan. But again, they went a bowler short in their pace department, because you look at Shardul Thakur, he got smacked for 8 runs in his first over, and suddenly Virat Kohli did not have another option. Jasprit Bumrah is not playing. He's rested. So it is a test of India's bowling. But then I come back to the batting once again. And for me, Shreyas Iyer, it's a troublesome mix. Let me say it like that, Daniel, because I remember the way India built up towards the 2019 ODI World Cup, and they really messed up their batting. They were too dependent on their top order, and they were finding solutions for their middle order, which perhaps they did not need to find. And they ended up with such a muddle that, okay, as long as the top order works, everything is hunky-dory. And this is what cost India the World Cup, because the one day their top order did not work, they were chucked out in the semi-final against New Zealand. Now, here's a problem for India in T20 cricket. Their top order doesn't click, especially when you're playing Shikhar Dhawan. So I agree with you that this was perhaps not the point for experimentation. Now, India have experimented in the past with their team, with their strategy. They've opted to bat first on many occasions. But that has been after the series has been won. They've taken an unassailable lead, or you know, this, or they've lost the series. You know, in dead rubbers, the experimentation bit happens in dead rubbers, or when you are not at the start of a new cycle. This is the start of a new cycle. So do what you have done in the past. And this is something that really flabbergasted me. And look, Shreyas Iyer really looked good. I think it's a little unfair on him. What India are trying to do is, with Virat Kohli at number three and Shreyas Iyer at number five, they have that double pivot. They have that double pivot in the middle order, and they try and bat around those two batsmen because these are accumulators. The others, you look at Dhawan and Rahul, not so much Dhawan, Rohit Sharma, Rahul, Rishabh Pant. These are top three of your four batsmen. So they will attack. Hardik Pandya, he'll attack. So your pivots are Kohli and Shreyas Iyer at three and five. But for me, Iyer bats a little too deep at five. And this is my problem with his half century today, because it says that, you know what, this idea has worked. It has not worked. You know, it has not worked. If you score 124 for seven, or like you mentioned, if you are three down within the power play, it is not working. And I think the other unfair, and this is my last point, the other unfair bit is, by batting at number five, he's competing with the likes of Surya Kumar Yadav, which is again unfair, because both Shreyas Iyer and Surya Kumar Yadav are different type of batsmen. I think if the roles are reversed with Iyer at four and Pant at five, it would be much more easier for the Indian batting lineup, or in fact, keep it fluid and play according to the situation. And the situation demanded today for Iyer to be coming at number four and not Rishabh Pant. So it was a mess, to underline everything. And you mentioned about the pitch and everything. I think it was perfect. I think it was a proper T20 wicket from Indian subcontinental point of view. It was just that it was such a horrendous performance from India today. I can't, let me just say this, I cannot identify this T20 side.
I understand that entirely. And, you know, for Indian fans, it must be perplexing, because all those things are true. What I would say, though, is that with T20 cricket, you know, it's a lot more about chaos.
Yeah.
And in T20 cricket, in those 20 overs, if one side can create chaos, and England did do that today, I think they surprised India with the pace and hostility of their bowling.
Yeah.
There was an attempt to get on with things, but we saw what look in retrospect like ill thought through shots. I mean, Rishabh Pant was just rebuilding the innings and flicks a half volley off his toe straight to the fielder at deep backward square leg. You know, these things happen. If it doesn't happen, if it goes 5 yards either side of the field, it goes down to the boundary, India might make 150, 160. You still would think, frankly, that wasn't going to be enough, because, you know, England have got a very settled lineup. They know exactly what they're doing, and their top six only has one anchor, and that's Dawood Malan.
Yeah.
A man who averages 54 in T20 international cricket.
Yeah.
At a decent strike rate. So, you know, England are blessed, you have to say, with a very, very strong crop of players who are playing at the very peak of their abilities at the moment and doing it very well. So, you know, I think if you're an India fan, you say, look, there's ways we could turn this around. We have the personnel to turn this around. England won't play that well every time. The pitch won't suit their bowlers that well every time. We'll bring in different personnel. I think we've said it all, really. I mean, it was very confusing that India began this way. But they began this way in the Test series as well. You know, they began in a way that perplexed us then. They have the ability to bounce back. They have the capacity. They have the resources to bounce back. And I would expect them to do that. Today, with my England hat on, I just have to, you know, I have to take it off, frankly, to Owen Morgan and to the backroom staff and everybody involved and the players who played out there today. They pulled off a near perfect. I mean, I'm trying to think what was imperfect about it. It was as near to a perfect T20 international performance as you will see. And they won't do that every time, but today they did.
Right. So a perfect performance, or a near perfect performance, as Daniel underlines, for England sees them 1-0 victors in this five-match series, a 1-0 lead, in fact, and the 8-wicket win. it remains to be seen if they can replicate this performance. Of course, we'll be coming to you almost daily now in this T20 series. There's only a day's gap between the next T20. So, but until then, until that next discussion, we leave you with just the pondering thought of Rishabh Pant ramping, reverse ramping Jofra Archer, and James Anderson somewhere sitting on the television screen and shouting, "No, God, no, not again, no." But that was not enough for India on the day as they surrendered a 1-0 lead. Until next time, this is me, Chetan Narula, and Daniel Norcross signing off from Hotspot Daily. Goodbye.